If you could just give me your name first.
Okay.
Hello, I'm Shaila Kumari Berman. It's my name, Shaila Kumari Berman.
And you're an artist?
I'm an artist based in London, professional artist, live in London, but I'm from Liverpool.
Yeah.
And my parents are from Punjab in India, northern India, to London.
I think that people can even see your work in the Tate.
Oh, yeah, they can't see the Tate. I'm in the Tate collection. I'm in the British Council collection, the V&A collection, the Wellcome Trust collection, and the Arts Council collection.
Uh-huh.
I'm in lots of collections.
That's brilliant.
Not bad.
Not bad at all.
I shouldn't say that. Showing off, yeah.
No. It's just being honest.
Okay. Great.
See, a bloke wouldn't even think twice. They wouldn't be showing off to a bloke, would it?
Exactly. Now that's a brilliant line you've just said. I am not showing off. It should be more collections.
Yeah. And you're going to
gender equality and all that. It's well out of order.
It's exactly.
Yeah, I should be, and there should be about five times the price, because men's work is bought five times the price, and ours is five times less.
Yeah.
So that's all, and also with Black and Asian artists, apparently collections all around the world are selling their collections by white male artists. They're selling them so they can start buying more Black and Asian and women artists' works, because the less women's work in collections internationally. So apparently they've just, I think it's to do with this Me Too and Enough is Enough campaign, it's finally hitting the visual art world. Mm-hmm. Which is, it had to happen, it was going to happen. I personally would make sure that's happening.
Mm-hmm.
And other friends.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a line.
Mm-hmm. Do you want to talk about pavements?
Yeah, so I've got a problem with pavements in London, because everywhere you go in London, all the pavements, they're all wobbly, they're sticking like up, so they should be cemented down. They're really like, and even in posh parts London, it's not just like Hackney. Well, Hackney is posh now, but I'm not referring to like, you know, where would you describe a port part of London? You can't describe a port part of London because everything's gentrified. But you know, generally speaking, in London, I feel like the pavements are always a bit rubbish, because I've tripped on pavements about five times in about the last year. And this time I've tripped on, and now my arm's in plaster and I've fractured it. And this is as a result of a bad pavement. And so I think councils, the problem is that the councils are facing cuts, and this is public funding are facing so many cuts, and the corporate world are not really caring, because they don't even walk on the street. Well, that's a good point, because they don't walk on streets because they've got chauffeurs and drivers, so they probably don't walk from their house to a tube station, because they hardly ever take tubes because they've got drivers. So the probably reason they don't fix these pavements is because the councils haven't got any money left. You know, they're probably struggling to make ends meet, and the government of the world in England probably don't even care. And that could be a reasonable answer.
That's brilliant.
Brilliant.
Yeah, often lately, sorry.
I know. Just say your... what's your name?
Claire Gray.
There you go.
And I have lived in my street since 1987, the year of the Great Storm. When I bought my house and when I looked at it the next day, it had no roof anymore. So I had to move in and water ran down the inside of the house, down the chimney breasts, because of the Great Storm. And when I moved in, it was rather a rough area. And there were metal scrap yards and junk shops. And it was dangerous walking back from the station. And sometimes you'd be stopped and have to do a bit of self-defence and be very fierce. But now, everybody wants to live in Peckham because it's got horribly, horribly fashionable. And everyone is 40 years younger than me. And everyone has got ginger hair and uses beard products and sits in the many cafes with their Apple laptops, working at home on precarious self-employed freelance jobs. But nobody buys a house unless they're 45 and they have money from their parents, because the houses are all now very, very, very expensive. And there's Big Artists Quarter, and there's Artists Open House, and we're surrounded by places where you can print silkscreen prints if you want to, and see artists working and buy artists' work. And even the head of Google has bought a house around the corner. So that shows how very, very much improved we are. But of course, it isn't all totally nice, because a lot of the original residents feel a bit left out because they don't have beards and use beard products, and they'd like to put paper tinsel up in the pub, but the pub has got too posh to want paper tinsel at Christmas. Or they'd like to put some window boxes out and have net curtains. But now when people move in, they do several things. They get plantation shutters, they get square bins, they put olive trees in their square bins, and all around they put the sort of crunchy stuff that looks like cat litter. And above the front door they have a big, big number which is slightly too big for the house. And that's how you know that they're people who've moved in, who've got more money than sense.
Fantastic. You don't want to talk about your scavenging down the Thames?
Well, scavenging is, yes, it's called, its official name is mudlarking. It used to be free on the south side of the Thames, and you had to pay on the north side of the Thames if you used any sort of instruments to find things. But now I think, because so many people are doing it, they've changed the law and you're not supposed to pick stuff up at all or use any tools. But I like it because you're in a different place when you go down the steps and you're at the edge of the river. It's like it's not London anymore, because it's more sort of untamed, and you're below the level of everybody else, and the water is splashing in from the boats, and there's seagulls paddling around, and you know that you're standing on 1,000, maybe 2,000 years of London, all the bits that you can pick up and the filth. And I do worry sometimes about Viles disease from the rats, but it doesn't stop me picking stuff up. There's on the north bank below the Old Bailey, you can get very nice cream and brown ware. I don't know if that was a pottery there, but it's all big, thick chunks of terracotta, and it's done with slip, brown slip on cream background. But on the south side of the river, you don't seem to get that, and I don't know why, because you'd think the river would churn it all up, but it doesn't seem to. On the south side, I found pipes, and pipes for smoking, because apparently in those days you'd buy them with tobacco in, and when you'd finished smoking, you'd chuck them, and then buy another one. There's a lot of very sculptural things in front of the Tate, if you're in a kind of mood for beautiful objects. There's got some great chunks of stone with big, big iron hoops and bands in, where people must have originally moored. And they're very good to photograph if you like that sort of thing. I think my days are numbered though, because the steps are very steep and slimy. And last time I was down there, I didn't have the strength to get to the bottom step because part of the bank had been eroded. And I had to get a man who was walking his spaniel to give me a push-up. so I could get back up to the top.
That's remarkable.
Thank you. Thank you.
Josie Munro, and I was born in the north of England and evacuated during World War II in Yorkshire. But I came to London when I was 11 and a half, and I'd never been to London before. But I learned to find my way around, and one day my twin sister and I and two school friends decided we would spend the half-term holiday coming to Regent's Park Zoo. And I'd never been to Regent's Park before, and we lived in South Kensington at the time, so we got a 14 bus and came all the way up to the zoo, came in, had a walk around, saw the elephants and all the other animals, and had a wonderful day. And then I decided I needed to go to the loo, and I said to my sister, "Hold my handbag for me, will you please?" So she said yes. When I came out, she disappeared and the two school friends. So I was wandering around looking at all the animals, but looking out for them as well. And when it came to closing time, I still hadn't found them. So I thought, well, if I don't stand by the gate, I'm bound to see them coming out. So I went to the gate, stood there until they were ready to lock the gate, and I still hadn't seen them. So there I was on my own, no money because my sister had my handbag, and I had to get home to South Kensington, and I didn't know the way. But then I thought, well, I got a 14 bus to come here. If I followed the bus route, I'll be able to eventually get home again. So I started walking, and I had to keep checking the bus stops to make sure I was still on the right route. And I eventually got home about 10 o'clock at night. And they'd had the police out looking for me. And my mother said, "Well, what happened to you?" So I said, well, they walked off with my handbag with my money in it, so I couldn't get a bus. So I thought the only way to get home is to walk. And as I didn't know the way, I had to follow the bus route. I said, but I'm here now. And so they then had to go out to the phone box where you had to put four old pennies in it and phone the police and say that I was home again.
Oh, that's brilliant. And why did your sister leave the park? I never did find out.
Oh.
I think she was probably talking to the other two girls and, you know, just didn't even think about it.
Oh. That's a brilliant story. And I'll just say that we're talking about this because we're in Regent's Park now.
Yes, we are indeed.
At an amazing party.
Yes, lovely. And we're all quite elderly people, but I think most of us are very active.
Yeah.
I'm doing ballet classes.
Yes.
And Amina's doing ballet classes. And some of them, I think, do yoga as well, and I think it's really great.
Yes. And you were on Channel 5 TV?
That's right, yeah.
That's wonderful. And you're being interviewed for a documentary?
A documentary, yes.
That's fantastic.
Yes.
And you've appeared many times in public?
Dancing, yes.
That's fantastic.
Mm-hmm. I was a professional dancer for 4 years in my teens.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And then I gave it up when I got married, and I didn't start again till I was 49. And I loved it so much, I'm still doing it now at the age of 83.
That's fantastic. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.